Good evening, everybody, and you're very welcome to this evening's Friday show with myself, Ray Hall.
And myself, Paul Cotty.
And our guests this evening are the Sovereign President, William James Maguire, or Billy Maguire, as you all know him here, and Robert McGann from the IRB branch in Carlow. And you're very welcome, guys.
Thank you very much, and good evening to you, Ray, and Paul, and all your listeners.
And a very good evening to you, Ray, to you and Paul, and all your listeners too. I hope you're all doing well.
Oh, we're all doing. I'm doing fantastic. How about you, Paulie?
Ah, I'm always bouncing along anyway.
Yeah, sure. That's what life's all about. But Billy.
Yes, sir.
It's a great pleasure to have you on. You wouldn't just give us, tell us who exactly you are. You are William James Maguire, President of the Sovereign Republic of Éire, and you carry many other titles as well. Do you want to fill us in on that?
Well, I do, but remember this, I inherited all those from, you know what happened in our country. I'm President of the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, and my family bought Vaughan's Hotel, 29 Parnell Square and Granby Row in Dublin, and that was there were many of the young Irelanders and the Fenians were around and that, and then the Irish and James Stevens, he founded the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and John O'Mahony founded the Fenian Republican Brotherhood. And in America, there are two sister organizations. One is in Lombard Street in Dublin, the other is in Donnelly's in New York. And it had every time we tried to get our independence, it had failed, but that they were successful. And they came together with all the people. They founded the GAA, and they founded many cultural organizations in Ireland. All politics, you could say, here today came out of the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. And that was to set up the sovereign Dáil Éireann government. That was their plan. And as you know, the harps and the sovereign seals and that, we go back a long time. We can do our sovereignty for 10,000 years, where we carried it across the Middle East, right across Europe, right across to Hibernia, which was the Sovereign Republic of Éire today. And it was a wonderful history. But unfortunately, everybody's trying to airbrush us out, and they're all trying to look for, we only do the sovereignty and legitimacy of the state. That's all we do. And everybody is trying to claim that.
You're not politically motivated. You're not political in any shape or form.
Sinn Féin is the political wing of the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. But that Sinn Féin was, that's what we got the mandate of the 1918-32 county election. My family bought Vaughan's Hotel, 29 Parnell Square in Granby Row in Dublin, and just to set up the Sovereign Dáil Éireann, the Sovereign Dáil Éireann courts and the War of Independence as a defence force. And Sinn Féin was the political wing, and Ogilvy Héireann was the military wing as a defence force. And that's where we come from. But and that happened on the 1918-32 county election from Vaughan's Hotel. And we were given the mandate of the 32 counties of the Sovereign Republic of Éire. That's for all the people. That's where we hold. We still hold that mandate today. And we still hold the Sovereign Dáil Éireann government that we set up on the 21st of January 1919, by the will of all the people of the 32 counties. And that's the mandate we have, and that's the only sovereign Dáil Éireann government. And what happened, as you know, on the 6th of December 1921, when King George V and the British government, they usurped the sovereignty of the sovereign citizens, and they usurped the sovereignty of Dáil Éireann. And King George V, he declared Dáil Éireann to be an illegal assembly. And he imposed a British apartheid system for the 26 and 6 counties of Ireland as an Orange Free State and a provisional government. And that's what you have today. And it split the Irish Republican Brotherhood. It split Sinn Féin. And out of that came Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And Labour were part of the Irish Republican Brotherhood as well, and part of that Sinn Féin. And it's been split ever since. And what you have is a provisional government. What happened on the 6th of December 1921? The provisional government and Michael Collins, they went down to Leinster House and they bought the lease from the Royal Dublin Society. And the Duke of Leinster, of course, was the agent for the Crown of England. And Sinn Féin wouldn't take their seats in Leinster House because it was under the Crown of England. And so there was nothing, I mean, that was unbelievable. And I asked comparisons of today for Brexit when Queen Elizabeth II of England, on the 16th of March of this year, 2017, she gave royal assent to Brexit, to Article 50. And Theresa May, on the 29th of March, she wrote that letter to under the coat of arms of the Crown of England, which is England, Scotland and Ireland. And she took England, Scotland and Ireland out of the European Union when she wrote that under, if you look at the coat of arms on that letter and you see 10 Downing Street and you see the letter and you'll see why and you'll see, and how is it that nobody is commenting on that, that she, that Theresa May has taken Ireland out of the European Union. And you have to have a sovereign government. And the only sovereign government we have, we have five governments in the state, but there's only one by the will of all the people. And to think of what King George V did to us and the savagery and the cruelty that was imposed on us when we left Britain. And now when Britain left the European Union, and the difference that they want world trade and they want this and they want that. But Britain doesn't have a sovereign government. Britain has a royal government, royal courts of justice and a crown force. And if you look at General de Gaulle, he wouldn't allow Britain to join, which was the EEC common market at the time, because they didn't have a sovereign government. They had a royal government. And that's 1155. That's the Bull Lauda Billiter that caused all the trouble here between Ireland and Britain. And they get their sovereignty from then. And I think it's very important. And we've asked Pope Francis when he comes here next year to address that Bull Lauda Billiter and to sort out that and the sovereignty. But and Theresa May, she has taken all 32 counties of the Sovereign Republic of Eire out of the European Union. And nobody's mentioning it. And there's... I've been to many. Last year was our 100th anniversary of our rising. And the provisional government of Enda Kenny, they weren't invited to one commemoration. And that's our tricolour flag and that we put up in the GPO on Easter Monday, 1916, taken down by Dermot Lynch and brought up under those tunnels that they opened up there from the rotunda at the Ambassador Cinema, which Bartle Darcy opened up. You wouldn't have won the War of Independence, or you wouldn't have won the 32 county election without those tunnels. And they go right down under O'Connor Street, and they go down to Phil Shanahan's pub, and down at Foley Street, and that's how they travelled. And if you look at today, you look at yesterday with the United States of America, you know, the military might, and what did they bomb? Bombed all those tunnels that they said those people were using. Well, it was the same situation from 1916 on until we won our independence on the 21st of January 1919 by the will of all the people. That was the 32 county election. And I think there's an awful scandal that what happened to us and is still happening to us, the way we're treated by Britain, our neighbours, and what they're expecting, the way they're going to be treated by Europe. I mean, if they're going to be treated the same way as they treated us, I would say they're in for a very rough time. We wouldn't wish that on our worst enemies. But and also, I think it's very something that was on the paper there recently, that the provisional government of Enda Kenny, seems to have done some sort of a deal with Britain for our sovereign territory to defend Britain in a case of attack. You can never take the harp, is never taken to war. If you look at King David playing the harp and all that, that's what happened to the Hebrew people. And you look at 1155, when Pope Adrian IV, the only English pope, illegally and fraudulently gave the sovereignty to Henry II to build his empire. That caused the Hundred Years' War. You know, these things, everyone says, oh, it doesn't make any difference, it has no difference. But in all his hands, in the end of the day, you know, when we carry that sovereignty, the Celtic people and the people in Scotland, you're right across Europe, from the Middle East, right across. And as you know, the harp is, to me, is a very sacred symbol. And it's the symbol of the Celts. And all our civilization, how men learned to write, how men learned to count, you know, all mathematics, all science, all astronomy, all buildings, everything, all modern technology today, all comes from the harp. How he learned to build his ship and how he learned to build the wheel, all comes from that, and you can do all that. That's only the start of how he learned to weave his clothes, all civilization. Nobody understands God, but everybody understands God's greatest gift to mankind, which is the harp. And the harp,
everybody should, Billy. Understand.
Well, they should know it, and especially you should know it. And I think there's nothing wrong with every child is born sovereign and has a God-given right to the first four streams of earth, air, fire, and water, man's intellect and reason, and his five senses. That's how you understand planet Earth. And I think it's needed more today in the world than ever before. You never take the harp to war or all the technology of the harp. I mean, everything that's created today comes from that. And if you look at that and you look at what's going on, creating all that technology to take to war, to destroy the planet Earth and destroy mankind, I think it's unbelievable we've come to that situation.
It really is. But I brought you on tonight, Billy. This is Easter weekend, yeah? Mm-hmm. It's 101 years since the 1916 rising that took place on the 24th of April, 1916. I suppose maybe before we go any further, we should talk about the document that founded the state and was the proclamation.
Yes, and right. You should read that. You're going to read that, aren't you? If you read that, and you saw last year, when you read it, you'll see it's the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood's proclamation.
I'll give it a go, Bill.
Right.
I will give it a go, right? I don't promise. I've read it a few times.
And as you know, I always hold the tricolour flag, which is our tricolour flag as well, that we put up in the GPO. That indicates that the Irish and Fenian Republican Brothers still own that tricolour flag. And we keep all that in trust for our sovereign citizens. That's what we do. That's how we look after things. We want all the symbols of the state. We owned all those. All the licenses are owned by the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. They must have 12 strings and ERA underneath it. The name of the state is the Sovereign Republic of ERA. That's the 21st of January, 1919, in the round room in the Mansion House. That's where Dáil Éireann has never sat in Leinster House, and nor a candidate. When you read that proclamation, and you'll see why, and you read the Sovereign Constitution, the two foundations.
We're going to come to something you mentioned, licences there, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on the show as well, Billy, sovereign licences. But we're going to go, here goes, hold on, I'll just have a little drink of water before I start this. And a big breath. And here goes. Poblach na hÉireann, the provisional government of the Irish Republic to the people of Ireland. Irish men and Irish women, in the name of God, and of the dead generations from which she receives her old tradition of nationhood, Ireland, through us, summons her children to the flag and strikes for our freedom. Having organised and traced her manhood through the secret revolutionary organisation, the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and through her open military organisations, the Irish Volunteers and the Irish Citizens Army, having patiently perfected her discipline, having resolutely waited for the right moment to reveal itself, she now seizes that moment, and supported by her exiled children in America and by gallant allies in Europe, by relying first on her own strength, she strikes in full confidence of victory. We declare the right of the people of Ireland to the ownership of Ireland and to the unfettered control of Irish destinies to be sovereign and indefeasible. The long usurpation of that right by foreign people and government has not extinguished that right, nor can it ever be extinguished, except by the destruction of the Irish people. In every generation, the Irish people have asserted their right to national freedom and sovereignty. Six times during the past 300 years, they have asserted it in arms, standing on that fundamental right, and again, asserting it in arms in the face of the world. We hereby proclaim the Irish Republic as a sovereign, independent state, and we pledge our lives and the lives of our comrades in arms to the cause of its freedom, of its welfare, and of its exaltation among the nations. The Irish Republic is entitled to and hereby claims the allegiance of every Irish man and every Irish woman. The Republic guarantees religious and civil liberty, equal rights and equal opportunities to all its citizens, and declares its resolve to pursue the happiness and prosperity of the whole nation and all its parts, cherishing all of the children of the nation equally and oblivious of all the differences carefully fostered by an alien government which have divided the minority from the majority in the past. Until our arms have brought the opportune moment for the establishment of a permanent national government representative of the whole of people of Ireland and elected by the suffrages of all her men and women, the provisional government hereby constituted will administer civil and military affairs of the Republic in trust for the people. We place the cause of the Irish Republic under the protection of the Most High God, whose blessing we have offered. And we pray that no one who serves the cause will dishonour by cowardice, inhumanity or rapine. In this supreme hour, the Irish nation must, by its valour and discipline and by the readiness of its children to sacrifice themselves for the common good, prove itself worthy of the august destiny to which it is called. Signed on behalf of the Provisional Government, Thomas J. Clark, Sean McDermida, Thomas McDonough, P.H. Pierce, Eamon Cant, James Conley, and Joseph Plunkett.
Well done, well done. You read that
Thank very,
very
much,
well.
Billy.
Well done, Ray. That was excellent.
Yeah, it was. And you're very articulate and honest, and a lot of people can't achieve it. But the point, there's two very important points on that proclamation. Having organized and trained her mentor through her secret revolutionary organization, the Irish Republican Brotherhood, I think it can't be any clearer as to who wrote that document and who owns that document. And yet the provisional government is in absolute denial of that fact. And last year, that was left out on every occasion they could leave it out. It was left out. And the next, very important, you see that is a provisional government. Their whole aspirations was to have the sovereign government by the will of all the people of the 32 counties. And that was the 1918 32 county election. And that's what they won. And that's the mandate we still hold today to found that government that was founded on the 21st of January 1919 in the round
and that
room
was declared. Like, I made a few notes earlier, Billy, and I was looking at that constitution and I'd done a little bit of research, yeah? The Rising marked another wave of attempts to achieve independence
Absolutely.
Through force
Absolutely.
Of arms, yeah?
Absolutely.
So it was a seventh attempt. And it was achieved. Well, it was achieved for a week. I know it failed at the time.
And you see, you've made a very good point there now. And all this talk about Brexit and borders and hard borders and soft borders, that's the only sovereign government we have. It was, and all the institutions of the state on the 21st of January were up and running. Michael Collins was minister for finance. And on the 6th of December 1921, he was only provisional minister for finance. But on the 21st of January 1919, he was the sovereign. That is the only sovereign government that can sit in the European Parliament. And all this lies and deception and propaganda that's going on, hard borders and soft borders, they're all irrelevant. And the provisional government have to make up their mind that if they don't recognise that government, then they're out of the European Union, because that's what Theresa May has done. And if you want me to read all that about the coat of arms of the Crown of England, Scotland and Wales, which is on the top of Theresa May's letter to Tusk, and she's made it quite clear, and that's what she has taken out. But look, sovereign and indefeasible, that means that it can never, you can never be changed. They can, that government, that has to be up and running in Europe, and using our tricolour flag, and using the sovereign seal of Dalaran that they achieved on the 21st of January 1919, any other government, and that's what they have to get right first. All this talk, all these professors and all these people going on telling us rubbish. You have to establish a sovereign government first. It's already, everything is done for you. So there's nothing, we don't have to have an army, we don't have to go out and fight for it, we don't have to go out and lie for it. It's already been done by our those great people who went out, Ogland the Heron, in 1916 and established it. And all
that's where I'm bringing it now, Billy. It's firmly established in that proclamation, right?
Absolutely.
That the Irish Republican Brotherhood, the Irish Volunteers, and the Irish Citizens Army were the centre of the rising. Yeah, it wasn't Fianna Gael, and it wasn't Fianna Fáil, just in case there's anybody out there listening that thinks that they might.
And they're trying to pretend that they were the ones. They weren't even in, they weren't even in, I think it was, what, 25 for and sure, how could they, you know, they weren't even there. They weren't around in those days. They all came up
And the Lane Gorham, I think they were. I think they were at 23, were they not, Bill?
Yes, but they were all. It was the Irish Republican Brotherhood that held all that together, down through, you know, the Fenians and Young Irelanders, and right down along for hundreds of years. They kept it alive, and they kept all the politicians alive to get a sovereign government. And you see that the provisional government, because it wasn't elected. By the will of the people, but that's what they did. And the will of the people in the 1918-30, that's established the sovereign government. There's five governments in the state, there's five constitutions, there's only one sovereign government that consists in the European Parliament, and that's it. And Europe is back us on that. But the provisional government, Britain doesn't want to, I don't know what Britain wants to do, because no one seems to know. But anyway,
I've got to go back to the proclamation, Billy. I'm going to go back again to the proclamation. The next thing that you pick out of it is, the right of the people of Ireland to the ownership of Ireland. So we have the sovereignty is indefeasible and it cannot be taken back or given back, right? It cannot be taken. It cannot be. It's indefeasible. And those who don't understand what the indefeasible means, that's what it means. It's once you have it, you can't lose it. You can't give it away.
Once it was established, and it was on that day, the 21st of January 1919, and that's what all those, if you see the scene, look at the uniforms that Michael Collins and those wore, all the volunteers, Ogland and Heron, that's what they are, and they carried 8-strings IV. And I was listening to the radio yesterday, And Sean O'Rourke was on, and he had Dermot Ferriter on. And, of course, you can't reply. No one can reply. They're getting away with all this. They can say what they like, and no one can challenge them. And he said the Dublin Metropolitan Police is what the Guard of Chicana came out of. You can imagine the under the Crown of England setting up the Guard of Chicana. So that's not correct. And that information is not correct. Right, there were some members of it, all right, that joined the Guard of Chicana. But it was the Irish Republican Brotherhood and Ogland Heron. 7-strings IV is what the Guard of Chicana were set up under. And their first day on duty was in the Mansion House in Dublin on the 21st of January 1919. And all the provisional governments since the 6th of December 19 have been writing that out. And they have been writing out all this, and they've been writing out the IRB. And as you know, Mulcahy tried to pretend that he terminated the IRB. He didn't, nor could he, and the Fenian Republican Brotherhood. But what they're all trying to claim is the sovereignty and legitimacy of the state, and only the IRB can.
Thank you.
what's happened.
I don't know. We got a bit of interference from somewhere, Billy. I don't know what it was or who it was. Robbie, you
didn't like what we were saying.
No, I'm off the speakers, Ray. I'm off the speakers. It's handheld.
Well, you're okay there.
Anyway, that's what we were talking about, and we were talking about the Garda Síochána, where they were set up. And also, he made a comment. They were talking about Easter and religious ceremony and all that. And he didn't know, Sean O'Rourke's on. He had those people on his program. And he didn't know the difference between the sovereign Trinity and the religious Trinity. You know, I mean, what to know that? I mean, I'm astounded. I'm astounded. And I'm astounded at the four courts down there that they have desecrated our sovereign Trinity up there on the 21st of January 1919. And all those learned judges and all those people and all those solicitors walking in and out of that court, the four courts, those courts were set up on the 21st of January as the Dáil Éireann courts, and that's what they are, to hear the sovereign constitution. And that's the constitution that divided all the landlords' estates. And that's what you write is in there. And that's what our sovereign seal that changed from 12 to 13 strings. And it has air underneath it. And now you see all over the place, you see harps up with nothing under them. You see licenses, no air underneath them. You have to have 12 strings in air to be legal, valid, or bona fides. And anything less than that is a desecration. And yeah, the olden air and courts are still there and to deal with that situation. And someday you'll have to account for that, and that's it. And right. I think people should be very careful.
And basically, can we just go through, Billy? And I don't mean to harp on it. The twelve strings on the harp are very important. It's earth, fire, wind, and water. Yeah. So it's the four elements, and then it's the five senses. You see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. Right.
So we already called the first four earth, air, fire, and water: man's intellect and reason, and his five senses. That's the nine strings. That's what the Crown of England has up in our coat of arms, up on that, what I told you, the coat of arms, England, Scotland, and Ireland, that Theresa May sent in to Tusk to take Britain, Scotland, and Ireland out of Brexit and out of the European Union. And that's ours. And she's taken out, I mean, how dare she take out Ireland? She should not interfere with us. And that's it. We don't interfere with them. And that's a sovereignty. And I think this is an unbelievable. And not one politician. I rang up as many as I could, and I rang up as many papers as I could, and I rang up as many. I rang up RTE. All of what they were going to do was unbelievable. Nobody mentioned it. Not one paper even mentioned what that coat of arms up number 10 Downing Street. You can see it yourself. Hey, it doesn't just. I'm saying it, and it's very important. Hold on, if you look at the headline, the heading of the letter, it has the symbols of England, Scotland, and Ireland. 10 Downing Street, London, SW. What's it? SW. Can't find it. How to read that now?
SW1. Billy, I think, yeah.
It has that. But that's the official letter that she sent.
So basically she's withdrawn everybody, yeah? She's withdrawing everybody because they're on our sovereignty anyway. Yeah,
that's 1155. That's the bull audibility. That's what caused all the problems. That's what Pope Adrian IV, Theonis, that's what he gave. He needs being fraudulent, of course, to Henry II. But they are, look, I'm reading it from the official, the lion and the unicorn. And this is the royal arms of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, quartering the arms of England, Scotland, and Ireland. That's the official And how is it that all these politicians who are paid an absolute fortune in salaries and pensions, it's like a lottery, and expenses, and not one of them came up and I mean, they must be blind or what they're doing. They're not saying it. They're colluding. And then we hear, they don't know. And if they're not, they're overpaid.
You know, don't you? Like, you know Enda Kenny knows, yeah?
I know he knows.
Yeah, and I know Michal Martin knows, yeah? I know Michal Martin knows. And I know Jerry Adams knows.
Isn't that BillyMcGuire.com? Isn't all that up there? And it's there for anybody. Any child knows that. And they're going over there colluding, and we don't even know what they're saying or what they're... But they're selling us out. We don't want lies.
100 years on, they're still trying to steal the sovereignty that they
absolutely
didn't get.
Still at it.
Yeah.
Didn't please and look at what Heather Humphreys did in Galway. We weren't even invited to one commemoration, and she stood up in Galway University. I was there myself, and she stood up on the stage and said, "We have taken back the national flag from the dissidents. Our tricolour flag." And we weren't even, and they headed up on the stage with our proclamation, and we weren't even invited. And what they did at the GPO, where we put up our flag on Easter Monday, and they had a flagpole, and last Easter Monday, we were raised that, as you know, on Easter Monday ourselves at 12 noon. We read our proclamation and raise our tricolour flag. They took down the flagpole the way the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood couldn't raise their tricolour flag. I mean, that is a scandalous thing to do. That is treason. And she should know it. I mean, that of all the things, she will never have a day's luck for that. And I think it's absolutely scandalous for Heather Humphreys to do that. I mean, that's the lowest form of life, to desecrate our tricolour flag and steal it and pretend it. They have nothing to do with it. And we've made it very clear that they will not use, I've written to Tusk, Schulz, and Jean-Claude Juncker, that they will not use our tricolour flag in Europe and they will, without our permission, and they will not use our sovereign seal of Dáil Éireann, because Dáil Éireann has never said, we don't want lies and deception and all this old propaganda and all this old fake news going on. And to desecrate our sovereignty, we're not having that, and we're not going to do it either, regardless whether we have to pull out or not pull out. We don't have to pull out of Europe because we have a sovereign government by the will of all the people of the 32 counties, and that's what we have, and we've had that, and we just explained 21st of January 1990. They don't know it because they're not educated about it, and I think there's and that Maurice Manning, I mean, I've had murder with him, and I had murder with him in Galway over. He's the chancellor of all the universities of Ireland, and he will not allow that to be taught in the universities. And you have these educated graduates coming out of the universities, and they know nothing about the sovereignty or royalty or the sovereign seals or the harps. They know nothing about their history or how it was achieved. And we have the most wonderful history of any country in the world, and I think that history was needed more today than it has been at any other time, to give people where they come from.
I've noticed this myself, Billy, now, and I've spoken to you about it a few times. It says they've stolen our culture.
Absolutely. They've
stolen our culture. Our culture is, absolutely, our language is not taught, right? Our language is, I'm learning our language right now, and it is a beautiful language, right? It's poetry. And it comes, it's hewn from the bones of our culture, that language. And then I look at our culture and it's disappearing left, right, absolutely, and centre. Our music is gone. Like, it's been driven away. It's gone. It's only in a few corners of Ireland now. Now they have us bopping to music and bopping. People become famous for no reason now, Billy. You sing a song like Westlife or whatever, and all of a sudden you've got millions of euros and people are worshipping you. Why? Because you can carry a note, you know? It's people have their priorities all wrong, in my opinion. And that's it. Like, I'm just an ordinary man living in the sovereign republic, you know?
Yes, but you can bring it back to, look, go back to Loch Gur 10,000 years ago, when our ancestors left all that information, culture and everything else for you. That's what they've done with the harp. And the harp stone is there. And the Rana Crendov stone is there. And that's a line to the Gantleys, which are the Harps. And those people, they're our ancestors. And they did that, and they carried that. And as you know, Cromwell, he camped his troops there. And Ireton, his son-in-law, he defaced all those stones. It's the largest stone circle in Ireland. And he all the Celtic designs, all the sovereign seals, you know, they defaced all those. And the Bishop of Limerick, O'Brien, they executed him. And O'Brien told him that he put the curse of Cromwell on Ireton. They all the Psalters, which are the books of Psalms, they destroyed all those. The Askeaton one is in the Bodleian Library in Oxford, and they tore the pages out of that. And anyway, O'Brien said to him that he'd be dead within 40 days, and he was dead within 8 days. And, you know, and I said about, you know, the Bull of the Bilger, that caused the Hundred Years' War, and the Fleur de Lis, it was up there, and they had to take that down. And we don't know what's going to happen. Every time it's been, we saw ourselves when the GAA took it off our medal. And that medal was 1910. As you know, it was the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. Michael Cusey was only fronting for the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. And John Francis McGuire of the Cork Examiner, his staff, you know, were in Fergus setting up the GAA, which was the backbone of our independence.
That's again your family, is it not? And
if you take India's independence, when Erie, he was over here studying law, and he was a member of the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, and he was in Vaughan's Hotel, and he saw all that. And that's where India's got their independence. They couldn't unite the people, but it was the Liverpool Salt Tax that they imposed, that Britain imposed on the Indian people, that united the Indian people. And they use our proclamation, and they use our sovereign constitution, and they use our flag, but they turn it the other way around. And I mean, as you know, the Indian always sent a representative to the Mansion House until we were all thrown out of the Mansion House, because it doesn't suit the provisional government to know that they're only provisional government and they haven't any right to use the sovereign seals or use the tricolour flag. They pretend and they lie. But we're saying to them, we don't want lies and deception. Why do we want lies and deception for when we have a sovereign government that we're all proud of the 21st of January? Look, last year, the whole country was round, and yet they weren't told the truth. Everything was covered up. It was all politics the whole way. The provisional government pretending, lying to the people. I mean, that Heather Humphreys, what she did with that tricolour flag, I'll tell you, that's not going to be left like that. And I went to see her. She was down at the University of Limerick. And I explained, I thought, now, look, I've got to go and make sure that she knows all about this. And I had to wait an hour while she was having her lunch inside there. Well, I know Plassey very well because I live down there. And I had to wait for the, you know, the staff there as well. We gave Willowbank, so that's an Irish Republican Brotherhood University for Limerick, Clare and Tipperary, you know, as a work ethos that young people would understand how you work and how technology results. It's a technological university rather than academia. And, you know, they're so far thinking people. And I explained everything about that to her, and I thought, oh, that's grand. And the next thing she comes out, we're not advised to do anything, and she robs the our tricolour flag for a provisional government to use it and pretend in Europe that Enda Kenny is Taoiseach of Dáil Éireann. He is the provisional Taoiseach of the Royal Dáil and the Royal Oireachtas that was imposed by King George V and the British government on the 6th of December 1921 as a British apartheid system for the 26 and 6 counties of Ireland as an Orange Free State and a provisional government. That's what sits in Leinster House, and that's what sits in the European Parliament, and they're lying to their teeth with their propaganda lies, and they're all fake law. We don't want any of that all fake news and things. We want our honest-to-God, what our people achieved in 1916, in 1917, in 1918, in 1919, and gave their lives. And it split this country in two, the lies and the deception. And that's what we want. And we have a great people, but we're not given a chance. They're not educated. They don't know. They're into all sorts of all drugs and everything else, which is a shame. You don't need those when you have a sovereignty. Sovereign citizens don't live like that. And sovereign citizens tell the truth about their country and the wonderful achievement that they have and the wonderful heart.
You've touched on something there, Billy, and it's going to bring us into our next subject. And Rob, thank you for patiently waiting there.
Well, that's right. He never gets a word in with me. He knows that.
Yeah. Oh, not at all, Danny. It's very interesting. Just to back you up on that, a quote from Pope Adrian IV in 1155, excuse me, quote, "Crush the Irish way of life and crush the Irish culture." That was quoted to the military of the Crown at the time, and that was the instructions given to the military might. So you were right, Ray, that the culture has been destroyed and the symbolism that's been slowly eroded away from the GAA, the post offices, the schools, the proclamation, everything. It's slowly, killing me softly.
Yeah. And that's what I see, Rob, and it breaks my heart because this is such a beautiful country with such beautiful people in it. But like, amazing. To go around these days. Actually, today, like I said, I'm learning Irish. And today I was coming up the road there from Portlaoise. I was just down there. And I was coming up through the toll bridge. And normally now when I stop, I've learned simple phrases. So I would say, Gura Mahagut, and I would say, Majin Mot, the people, when I'd meet them in the morning and things like that, right? And Kunasatatu. But I spoke to the woman. I just says, Gura Mahagut, when she gave me my change, and she wished me a happy day in Irish as well. It was nice to see some people in the country still use the Irish.
Yes, it is. It's lovely. Every now and again, it's lovely to hear that. Absolutely.
But isn't it? But you know, sorry, Ray, but you know, so to me, when I saw Brexit on the 29th of March, and the way we were treated when we left Britain, and not a word about it, no comparison. And the way Britain has been treated by Europe, you know, and what they expect, and what we got, nothing. Look at the savagery and the brutality that was imposed on our people on the 21st of January 1919. Look at the civil war that was imposed on us. Look at the hatred, families fighting with each other. And now Britain wants to walk off with all this world trade agreements and all friendly and all nice and everything else, and what they did to us.
And of course they made the Irish out to be stupid, you know, to depend on one crop to survive upon, even though when the potato was brought in, there was civilization from the beginning of time here. I mean, it is an attack on every aspect of being Irish in my viewpoint of it, you know. But as you say, Ray, it's lovely to hear someone still has an interest in some culture in the country every now and again. So we are an example to set for other people. So lead by example and you know, you never know who's watching.
Yeah, and I do agree, Ray, that, you know, if we had our sovereign government, that's all we're asking in Europe. I don't think we're asking for anything extraordinary. We just want our sovereign government by the will of all the people in the 1918-30. We don't want any lies or deception or propaganda or all fake news or anything else. That's all we want. And I think we're entitled to that.
What I want as a man living in Ireland, right? Like, look at as a man, we'll just call it as living in era, right? A man living in era. I just want to be left alone, right? If something is a good idea, I'll support it. If something is, I suppose, is encroaching on my privacy or is encroaching on me in any shape or form, and I don't want that. Like, that's what 1919 was all about. It was about recognising the people's right to their freedom. Right, that doesn't mean that there wouldn't have been a society in which taxes would have had to be paid and things like that, because infrastructure and everything like that. Like, when we talk about a sovereign government, we talk about your sovereignty is you have that right to be free, and that right to be free is just free. It's free from taxes, free from all the laws and lacks and legislations that extort your energy from you. But that's not what you have today. You're taxed in this country as an individual.
Well, slavery again, Ray. Slavery. And I'd like to say, while I taxed my car last Friday, and on the tax disc, And this is where, again, go back to Theresa May's letter. You see the sovereign seal, and there should have air underneath it. If air isn't underneath it, that tax is right air yourself. You now have the right to drive the 32 counties of the Sovereign Republic of Air, and with that tax disc and on your license the same way. And if you were stopped by a guard, a policeman or a customs officer, you point to that and you say to him, now you've seen my license, can I see your license? And it has to have 12 strings of air underneath it. If it hasn't that, you can report him, and that's and you can drive any place in Britain, because that's up in the coat of arms of the Crown of England. I read it out to you, the official there. And you can drive any place in Europe. And most hauliers are talking about hard borders and soft borders and everything else. There will be no border. There was no border on the 21st of January. And the European Parliament, the only ones looking to put in a border is Enda Kenny and the provisional government, and probably Fianna Fáil, because they think there's going to be money out of it. I mean, it is scandalous to think that our own provisional government are trying to impose King George V, what he imposed on the 6th of December 1921, as a British apartheid system for the 26 and 6 counties of Ireland, as an Orange Free State and a provisional government. And are they going out to ask Europe to impose it? Because Europe can't impose that. How can Europe impose what King George V of England imposed? They can't do it. And we shouldn't allow them to do it.
But, like, that's not being talked about. That's not been talked about in media, because
nobody's mentioning it. Nobody's mentioning it.
Well, like, I've been blocked from quite a few places for tweeting and asking questions. But Billy, I'm going to bring us into a break here. We have to go to a break. I'm going to bring us into a break. So basically, after the break, when we come back after the break, we're going to be talking about licenses, Billy, because you issued the licenses for the Sovereign Republic. And we want to talk about two other special things that's going on in the country as well at the moment involving these licenses. So right back after this, folks.